Our Bible reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found and was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth."
Well, it's a great pleasure to be with you, especially on your 11th birthday. Bernard did not tell me that, but I'm going to say no more about it, but we can celebrate afterwards over coffee and perhaps something stronger. Famous words from the penitent thief addressing the Lord of glory as he died. "Lord, as you come into your kingdom, remember me." Remember me. But what does remember mean? Do you know that there are two kinds? I wonder if you do know that there are two kinds of remembrance and two kinds of remember. There is a dictionary definition and there's a Bible definition. On a day like this, it makes a very great difference to get it clear. What kind of remembrance are we engaged in this hall today? It'll make a big difference if you know which is which. So that's how I'm going to use my few minutes to clear the matter up. Here is the dictionary definition. Remembrance equals, I got this out of my dictionary yesterday morning, to keep in the memory, not to forget, recollection. Well, that's simple enough, and we're all doing that this morning, today, and rightly so, and it's a good and a proper thing to do. Very possibly you have names in mind of those who gave their lives for their country. So do I. I have family names. I have the names of those who were contemporaries with me at school, about 2 years older than me, as we saw them go, aged 18, to fight. Tony, John, Timothy. Timothy, I think, was a bit of a rogue, but I guess now he's a hero. However, there is a risk in this kind of remembrance. Today can be just looking back in sorrow and in gratitude, recalling lives that were cut cruelly short, and it can be a time of painful memories, especially for those of us here who are older and had first-hand knowledge of many of these people. This kind of memory doesn't last very long. Tomorrow is Monday morning, and we have to get back to our ordinary work. That's the Bible definition of remembrance. And as I say, it's unsatisfactory because it passes by. So what about the Bible definition of remembrance? I think it includes all that is good in the dictionary definition, but there's more, much more, in the Bible definition of remember. Bible remembering forces me to think and to live and to act differently in the present, today, tomorrow, and the next day. So here is my take on Bible remembering, first as a citizen, and secondly as a Christian. And I hope this will find an echo in your heart and in your mind. As a citizen, and there are many of you here who share this with me, I'm going to recollect three things. I remember, at least I read about it, I was far too young, I remember the failure to rearm in the 1930s. I suppose all of us know of the way in which both political sides failed to prepare for the war that was so soon coming. By failing to rearm, it cost us very dear. Only in the very nick of time did the government manage to produce sufficient Spitfires and Hurricanes for the brave pilots to win the Battle of Britain. There's a pub near Biggin Hill that some of you may know. I've lunched there a couple of times, and it's very moving to see the names of many of these pilots written up in chalk on a blackboard. Many of them must have written their names and their signature only a day or two before they left Biggin Hill, never to return. We had the men, we had the brave men, but we didn't have the aircraft. Remembering that, in a biblical sense, forces me to feel deeply concerned at the news this weekend that hundreds of extra redundancies are going to take place in our army. I know we can't afford them, but it's the government's first duty to defend its citizens. I'm a naval serviceman. I was the lowest form of animal life in the Navy, a midshipman, usually called a snotty. And I think I'm shocked today to know that the French have an aircraft carrier outside the waters of Libya, but we can't manage it. It's a dangerous thing in a cruel and strong and predatory world not to be well armed. Of course, I may be wrong. But remembrance of that kind alarms me today because weakness never pays. I actually remember, for now I'm 13 years old, standing in the hall of our house at home on September the 3rd. Chamberlain was, the year before that, Chamberlain coming out of the aircraft and waving a piece of paper and saying, "Peace in our time." But as you know, it wasn't. Hitler had fooled him to thinking that there was time to find more peace. And as you know, Hitler spent that year to gain strength for war. As I say, I remember standing in our hall on the 3rd of September, father, mother, brother, and my Aunt Carrie. My Aunt Carrie was the great wishful thinker. At 10:30 in the morning, my Aunt Carrie said, I can remember the words exactly, "There won't be a war." Half an hour later, we heard the announcement of the war declared. Of course, I understand my Aunt Carrie. The First World War was only 20 years before. She'd lost a brother. But wishful thinking of that kind is dangerous. Remembrance of that kind forces us not to be guilty of wishful thinking today, not to be taken in by countries who say that they want nuclear power for peaceful means, but actually are preparing a nuclear warhead. Thirdly, I remember, and I guess many of you remember, the history of Germany after the First World War when it was terribly humiliated and bankrupt. So low was the state of the nation that they fell hook, line, and sinker for Hitler's promises to restore the nation's pride and greatness, and with terrible results for millions. Remembering that and looking at Europe today, realizing that many countries are humiliated and bankrupt, aren't we forced to realize the danger of new men arising, demagogues, to restore their country's pride? That's why Lawrence Rees, in the recent television documentary series on the Nazis, gave us that warning from history. And it ends, you remember, with the sentence, "It remains possible for it to happen again any minute." I hope you see how very challenging the Bible definition of remembrance is. It tells us to think of the past and therefore take steps in the future. Just remembering the past is not enough. Now I'm going to say what I remember as a Christian. Well, actually, we Christians are very good at remembering. We have to do it all the time. Every time we go to the Lord's table, we remember his death. Every Sunday, we remember the resurrection of Christ with joy. So every week, we Christians have remembrance. But for believing Christians, that's not just a matter of memory. What Jesus did by dying and rising again makes all the difference in the present, today, tomorrow, and the next day. It changes everything. Because Jesus died for our sins, we can find deliverance and forgiveness now. That is, if we ask for it. Yes, we have to want it. I think of the night that the IRA bombed the church in the city of which I was a rector. I think it was 1991. I was sitting amongst the interior wreckage when a TV crew appeared and thrust a loudspeaker into my mouth to near me. I think it was Mike Wooldridge, who's a fairly famous TV personality. "Well, Mr. Lucas," he said, "do you forgive the IRA?" I remember thinking then, and still do, what a stupid question it was. Actually, I had no right to forgive on behalf of the two people and the families that had died just outside our walls. Silly, because Jerry Adams and his murderous gang were not wanting forgiveness from the rector of St. Helens. They just wanted an opportunity to do it properly, which they did a year later. How silly to say that you can forgive somebody who doesn't want to be forgiven, who wants to go on just as before. Jesus died for us. Well, I guess you've heard that many times from this lectern. But if we have no interest of turning from our old ways, his death, of course, is in vain. That kind of memory does no good at all. Secondly, Christians remember the way Jesus called for people to follow him. He spelt out the cost of discipleship so plainly as though to put people off. I'm interested in the way the army does this. I have friends whose sons have gone to Sandhurst, and it really looks as though for 3 to 6 months the army wants to do nothing more but to put them off. The point is surely to teach them what soldiering is all about. Remembering Christ's call for his followers to take up the cross helps me today to face facts that being a Christian is not a picnic, though it is a glorious privilege. And in our foolishly secular Britain, it may, of course, become tougher still. Thirdly, I remember Christ's resurrection, and I rejoice in it. What a victory. But remembering Easter Day does no good at all if we have no time for Jesus in our lives. I have a Canadian pastor staying with me this weekend, and I'm shocked at what he tells me from the town he comes from in Canada. He says nobody really wants to know about Christ. The other day he went to the hospital to see someone who he knew was dying, and a nurse met him at the door and said she doesn't want to see a minister. Well, Jesus rose. Recollecting that great fact is useless if you don't want to take part in the victory. In that case, death and hell win, with no further opportunity to do anything about it. On a number of occasions, I've been to the Continental War cemeteries, as I guess you have, and my last visit was to take an Australian friend to the Normandy beaches. One remembrance sticks in my mind, the American War Cemetery overlooking Omaha Beach. 172 acres, over 9,000 burials. It's a very, very moving sight. Row after row of white stone crosses into the distance. So there that day, the cross of Christ was absolutely central. It was their only hope, as it is our only hope. But of course, remembrance isn't enough. Being moved by the supreme sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, well, it doesn't do us much good if we don't ask that he should take away our sins and give us a new life by his Spirit. Let's go back to those words with which I started, or rather the words of the penitent thief, "Lord, please remember me." Do you really think the penitent thief was saying, when you get to the glory and sit at your Father's right hand, why don't you sometimes just remember this very grim day when we were dying on the crosses? Yeah, it'd be quite interesting for you to remember. Do you think he meant that? No, what he meant was, please remember me now, in my desperate need. I am truly penitent. I turn to you as my only hope. And the reply, today, you shall be with me in paradise. The dictionary definition lasts only for 24 hours. The Bible definition lasts for a lifetime. I remember what Christ has done for me, and I ask him that it may be something that is true for me in the present. Lord, please remember me and give me a new life and a new hope. Amen.